D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. I felt attacked by our boss just a few minutes ago. I felt attacked. Not literally. Chase McCabe did not.
Hey, boss, he talking about you.
Chase McCabe did not literally assault me, but I felt attacked when he disparaged people who like breakfast for dinner.
Yeah, I was a tad bit annoyed too when he mentioned the people that eat breakfast for dinner. I find that very insulting. Insulting of those that like to eat breakfast during dinner.
I love breakfast.
Exactly.
Willie, where do you stand on this important topic?
I've got nothing against it. I don't remember the last time I did. I know as a kid.
Mm-hmm. That was the highlight of your day.
If you offered me pancakes and bacon for dinner, I'm signing up.
Give it to
me. I don't know when the last time I did that, but I'm not opposed
but
to
you're
it.
Okay. You're not. If somebody gave it to you, you wouldn't say, nah, you'd just eat it, right?
I would eat it, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You like a lot of syrup?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
But I have also, you learn the hard way sometimes that too much syrup is not a good thing.
Never for me. I like syrup.
You never hit a point where you just went too far. You're like, wait a minute. Okay, now I've hit the limit. Now I know I can't put this much syrup on. Like you
never
start off.
Willy.
I started off as a kid.
You
like
to drown your
more
pancakes?
Syrup. Cannot. I mean, if you just give me the whole bottle of syrup. I'm just gonna keep
more to marry
the best,
yeah. Willie. More to marry.
It's just soup.
If it soaks on my plate, good. Because then, if I want to go get another pancake, I could just slop it down on the plate.
I distinctly remember being at one of those pancake houses or something like that, and I hit the limit. I was like, I messed up. I can't eat these. I'm like, it doesn't compute in your brain. I'm like, no, wait a minute, syrup's good. I like syrup. Why can't I not eat this?
I love syrup. Give me more.
So Chase, again, I felt attacked personally. When you said that. And I am not alone. Yeah. I'm sure many of our devoted listeners also like breakfast for dinner. But just as we came on the air, the Titans have made an interesting transaction. A familiar face is returning to the Titans, safety Quandre Diggs. The Titans have signed Diggs along with safety Joshua Bledsoe. Joshua spelled J-O-S-H-U-A-H. That is unique. The team has waived edge rusher Titus Leo and safety Mark Perry. Diggs, as some of you know, is Cam Ward's cousin. Willie Donick, is this nepotism?
That's not good. Let's not do that.
Or is Jack Black, alias Dewey Finn, alias Mr. Schneebly?
Mr. Schneebly, yes.
In School of Rocks is a little nepotiz.
Little nep. No, I just not nepotism. This is what you call we need camp bodies. We need guys.
He's 32,
guys,
though.
Yeah.
He's 32.
But he's familiar with the defense.
Look, you have to ask the question. Is he the best safety or is this he was there last year, right?
Yes.
He played 8 games, so he knows the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. We're all good there. But the nepotism comes in.
The nep.
Where you do ask, he's 32. He only made it 8 games. He got hurt last year. Are we really thinking he's going to help the team at this stage of his career?
That's why I said nepotism.
I'm asking. He's a 3-time Pro Bowler, right? He's a decorated player.
Yes.
But
I think this is more so you're bringing in a veteran guy. It isn't costing you anything. Only thing you're doing is filling a roster spot at this point. Do you hope that, you know, he can give you a little something and he becomes a viable part of what you're doing from a defensive standpoint? Because I think this defense needs guys, veteran guys, that know exactly what they're doing. They may not be as good as they once was, but what I know about defense, you don't have to be the fastest. You don't have to be as good as you once was. But if you understand, if you can read, dissect, be a play ahead of what's going on, you're going to end up affecting the defense in a positive way. I've seen great players lose and become half of what they were from a physical standpoint or close to half of what they were from a physical standpoint. But because they were superior from a mental aspect, They got to that same spot because they learned the defense in and out. They learned and studied their opponent. So he may not be what he once was, but if he can give them that sort of mental edge that this defense needs, it'll work out. But again, right now, I don't make a big deal about it. He's a camp body. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, it's like a revolving door. You bring somebody else in that because he's not projected to be a starter. So
I am waiting for the first text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com actually accusing Cam Ward of nepotism by Quandre Diggs, his cousin, coming back on the team. Of course,
is
I joke.
Is it nepotism that goes up somebody older? Does nepotism only apply to somebody younger?
It doesn't matter. If you know the person, you get the job because of the person.
Any family connection is nepotism.
We often use the word nepotism or the term nepo baby when a child gets a job because their parent is a influential figure.
Right. Mm-hmm. The announcing world is full of second generation, sometimes third generation announcers. It seems to happen a lot.
The actual definition of nepotism is the practice among those with power or influence of favoring relatives, friends, or associates, especially by giving
to relatives. It goes beyond relatives?
That's Cam. He fits right in that bracket.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm not going to say that, people. I am not saying that. No, that is not coming out of my mouth. This is not nepotism. It is not
joking.
I, Derek Mason, that is saying that.
I'm joking. But let's turn our attention to Jeffrey Simmons. Would it be fair to describe Jeffrey Simmons as polarizing within the Titans fan base?
Yeah, I would say that.
Willie, you don't seem as convinced of that.
No, I don't think polarizing.
Okay.
I think that's a little extreme.
That would be a little extreme to say polarizing. I think he is definitely fell short of expectations the last couple of years, and expectations have been really high. But polarizing in what way? Do you think he's a terrible player?
No. It's just when he talks.
I know on the leadership thing, he's fallen way short of expectations. But I don't think a lot of people are arguing he's a great leader. I think they argue he's a great talent and maybe not a great leader. So I don't know. That doesn't fit my
your definition.
My definition of polarizing. No.
Perhaps I can come up with a different word. But Jeffrey
is he
Simmons
a lightning rod for talk at times? He has definitely been that, and he's not been that this year so far.
Because there is a lot of buzz about Jeffrey Simmons at Tennessee Titans training camp. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, who, along with his colleagues, went on a training camp tour over the past couple of weeks, made a pit stop in Nashville and wrote this, quote, "I don't often feed the best shape of my life camp themes, but goodness, does Jeffrey Simmons look impressive? He's down 20 pounds and looks a lot lighter. Quote, if it's not chicken or fish, it's not on the menu," Simmons said. "Simmons is not a volume sack guy, but is hoping for more pass rush production. The Titans don't have that guy who can get a sack on 3rd and 7 late in the game. Simmons hopes to fulfill some of that," end quote. And say what you will about Jeffrey Simmons, I think the term lightning rod, Willie, is apt. Better than polarizing. There is no doubt that Jeffrey Simmons is the best player on the Tennessee Titans. ESPN, also Jeremy Fowler, ESPN put together its rankings of the top 10 players at every position as voted by league executives, coaches, and scouts. Jeffrey Simmons, number 4 among defensive tackles on that list. If Madden ratings are your thing, Jeffrey Simmons, a 92 rating in Madden 26, 7th among defensive linemen. And here is Jeffrey Simmons at practice the other day discussing how rejuvenated he feels down 20 pounds. 1 second, David's going to get it. But what I will say is we do expect a lot out of Jeffrey Simmons because, again, best player on the team, one of the highest paid players at his position in the NFL, and we could all agree that last season was disappointing. David has that clip. Here is Jeffrey Simmons the other day.
Man, I feel great, man. I, I would say, you know, each and every year, I'm a very high confident guy. You know, when I step on the field and I hear somebody say, you mean, like, you piss, you always piss off. When I step on the field, I'm a pissed off guy. Like, I play pissed off. I want to play pissed off. I don't try to be a, take that back. I be a sometimes. But, like, for me, this game of football, man, you just never know when your last snap may be. And the way I try to approach things is, like, every snap my last. And, you know, I feel like I really got the Jeff Simmons confidence back. Like, the way I've been moving, the way I'm able to, like, my pass rush moves, everything just feels so much smoother. I'm being able to transition against the double teams even better now because all the weight off me, all the, you know, my knees and ankles not so sore when I wake up in the morning. You know, I'm excited to come to work. I think that's been my mindset is how can I have a positive mindset even when my body don't feel good, even when, you know, things not going the right way. I mean, I haven't been perfect this camp, but each and every day I take the coaching, I come back out here with the right mindset.
That was Jeffrey Simmons at practice the other day. So a slimmed down Jeffrey Simmons. He feels, to use the term again, rejuvenated. Are you two as convinced as he is that this will make a significant change in his production this coming season?
Well, it should. I mean, Jeff has been productive. Now, has he been as productive as he was in his 2021 season? No. And it's gone down ever since. This past year, he sort of got back to, you know, playing a little bit of the way he wanted to play. But obviously it wasn't enough, so he had to drop some weight, dropped over 20 pounds. Now it gives him the ability and the flexibility, as well as Denard Wilson, to move him around. When you have a – just think about it. All of the sort of great interior linemen, you know, whether you're talking about Jones right now or Reggie White back in the day, J.J. Watt, they were accustomed of moving across the defensive line. They could be defensive tackle. They could play on the outside. Jeffrey, that's where he wants to be. He feels that's where he can best help the team and best maximize his ability to play this game. Not just playing at the nose tackle or the interior, but also being able to flex outside and to get at the quarterback from that way. The more he can do that, the better that defense gets. Now, because I don't know, if I'm an offense, I don't know where Jeffrey's lining up. Because he can beat you in the middle because of his strength, but he also can line up to the outside as a rush in or rush backer and beat you with his quickness. So I, looking at Jeff, listening to him, I do believe that we will see a better version of Jeffrey Simmons than we've seen in the last two seasons. I think it's going to be closer, if not the 21 season, or better than the 21 season, for two reasons. He understands, listen, say what you want. He wants to win, but he also wants to get paid while he's winning. And he knows this is the year he needs to do it. And if he plays the way he's capable of playing, the Titans will benefit from that, not only, you know, from wins and losses, but actually signing him to a bigger contract or another contract, and he's going to be with your team. So, and if you don't want to sign him, you can always get a ton for him if he plays the way he played in 2021.
I guess I'm cautiously optimistic. I do worry about players who have had this many consecutive years, I believe the number is three, of significant injury issues. I'm glad that he took the steps to do something about it and not just do everything the way that you've done it. I think that's one thing that veteran players who last in the league a long time are able to do, and that's continue to work even harder to stay in shape and stay on top of your game. There's a lot of sports science that suggests, and J.C. Latham is taking the same approach, and he's a lot younger than Jeffrey Simmons, but that it's not as much about how much you weigh. It's your lean body mass. There's still body strength, but Jeffrey Simmons mentioned the joints and things like that, the wear and tear on the joints. So only time will tell. But there is science to suggest that this is good. I guess I'll still believe it when I see it, that he can stay on the field. I think if he stays on the field for 17 games, he'll have a good year. I don't know if I'm expecting he's going to have 10 or 11 sacks all of a sudden, but I think he's going to have a really good year.
I don't think it's so much about the sacks, even though I think they will come. I think he will have more than he's had the last two seasons. I mean, not combined, but I think he's had five basically the last two seasons. He's averaged five sacks. I think he's going to get more than that. It's not just the sack. I think the impact he's going to have on his defense now that he's a little bit slimmer, his ability to move across the board. You're right, in a sense, Willie. He has had some injuries, and you just never know how, when a guy lose weight after having injuries, being such a big guy, how fast can he adapt to that playing weight, especially when you get in the season. Right now, it's fine because you're not really – you're not in a grind of the season. But once you get in a grind in the season at this new weight, how will your body react? I get that part, but I still think a slimmer Jeffrey – a quicker Jeffrey means a better Tennessee Titans defense.
One thing that I was looking at, and one thing that Jeffrey Simmons has mentioned when talking about his lack of production, was the amount of double teams he faced last season. And ESPN, fortunately, has a metric for this, double team percentage. Jeffrey Simmons last season was double teamed 59% of the time. By comparison, Chris Jones in Kansas City was double-teamed 70% of the time. Leonard Williams in Seattle, 68% of the time. Vita Vea in Tampa Bay, 66% of the time. Now, Tavondre Sweat is not on this list, so I would be curious what his double-team rate is, because perhaps that is siphoning double-teams away from Jeffrey Simmons. Maybe that's why his number is so low. But I am hoping that with a slimmed down physique, as the two of you have said, that he will be more productive as a pass rusher. And I have the numbers to back that up, and we will discuss those and more coming up next at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You heard Jeffrey Simmons, a slimmed down Jeffrey Simmons. He feels rejuvenated. Are you convinced that a slimmed down Jeffrey Simmons will show us the type of player that we have come to know he can be, but it feels like he hasn't really been that player, at least in recent seasons? 615-737-1025. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trintix's Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps moms close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org.
Talk about Jeff getting better. How's that showing up, and what could that mean?
A lot quicker. Yeah. I remember seeing it the first day he was out here. I think it was in the OTAs. I saw him out of the corner of my eye against whoever guard was there, and just how quick, you know, his in and out was with his hands. So I'm like, I remember seeing that last year. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? And then just like you see today, like I remember, because we watch film obviously a lot on a lot of teams, and sometimes we stumble across us if we're watching something in the past, you know. And I remember we were at a screen to the right, and Jeffrey chased it down like 40 yards. Now, this was some years ago, and I'm getting like, not even flashes, that's exactly what he's doing out here. You know what I mean? If we run a screen or, you know, throw it to the bubble or whatever it might be, you see Jeff, and we put it in the team room because that's the standard of him chasing the ball 40 yards down the field, 50 yards down the field. And then not only chasing it, violently trying to attack the ball and get the ball out. So, you know, some guys just kind of pose like, oh, I'm going to cover the ball and that's it. Like, he's covering, trying to get the ball back. So just seeing him doing that at, you know, this deep into his career and getting so much better at it, it was really impressive. It's a standard for the whole team.
That was J.C. Latham discussing Jeffrey Simmons the other day after practice. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you talking Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons down 20 pounds, looking a lot lighter, looking a lot faster. And here's the question that I am going to pose to Willie and Derek and all of you at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What should our baseline expectations for a slimmed down Jeffrey Simmons be this season? Now, there is a stat for pretty much everything. And
Adam will find it.
Yes.
I will find it. as I adjust my...
If I don't first. I kind of like stats, too.
As I adjust my big-ass glasses, which is what I do when I'm about to be extra nerdy.
Bag. Yes. He's going into his bag mode.
Yes. Pro Football Focus has a statistic known as pass rushing productivity. Let's get the show back on the rails.
No, no, that's, I got something for you. I was thinking of an idea, but go ahead.
Okay. Hold that thought. Mm-hmm. So PFF has a stat called pass rush productivity. It measures quarterback pressures created per snap by defenders. More weight is given to sacks. And pass rushing productivity provides, according to PFF, mm-hmm. a clear understanding of which players are most efficient with their pass rushes. So last season in the regular season, among 48 interior defenders with at least 300 pass rushes, Jeffrey Simmons ranked tied for 22nd in pass rush productivity. By comparison, some of the players, let's look at the players who are ahead of him on the list on ESPN of the top defensive tackles. Dexter Lawrence was number one, according to the people on, you know, the league executives and such that Jeremy Fowler polled for this exercise. Dexter Lawrence was number one on that list. He was tied for fourth in pass rushing productivity. Chris Jones was number two. Mm-hmm. He was second in pass rushing productivity. Jalen Carter was number three. Jeffrey Simmons right ahead of Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter tied for 24th. Jeffrey Simmons tied for 22nd. So Jeffrey Simmons among the interior defenders with at least 300 pass rushes ranked basically right
middle
in the middle
of the pack. Yeah.
In pass rush productivity.
I think it's important we keep in mind that Jeffrey Simmons' number one calling card is a disruptive person against the run, and he's never been known as just a pass mm-hmm. rushing specialist. At the same time, these are numbers from last year, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I would be curious to compare those to past seasons when he's at his best, because I think it's fair to say that last year it was an underwhelming year mm-hmm. of production. I don't know that Denard Wilson got the most out of Jeffrey Simmons. I'm trying to remember. You know, he played 16 out of the 17 games. But I feel like there were games in there where he was playing hurt. So I would love to know.
In 2021, which was his best season.
Uh-huh. That was a great year for the Titans.
In 2021, there were 55 interior defenders with at least 300 pass rushes. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Simmons finished tied for eighth
okay.
in pass rush productivity.
So that tells you it's a combination of he's been banged up three straight years and new defense last year, not a really good team, and the numbers took a dip. So I think that is a stat to look at, is can they find a way to bounce that number back up?
You know, he basically, we look at his 2021 and we look at the sacks and the productivity and the havoc that he caused. But that was the 21 season, right? Yeah. But that wasn't even his highest graded season, if I'm looking at it correctly. The season before that, 20 was his best season. But 22 was his second best season. And 24... actually, he graded much better than he did the previous season when he dealt with the injury. So what that tells me is that a guy that is getting healthy, a guy that is now sort of tweaking his body, and I expect the numbers to be better this season than they were last season. Well, and it may not come in like all in sacks. It may come as he's able to shuffle down the defensive line.
I hope you're right. And look, they need this to happen one way or the other. Because mm-hmm. my question becomes this, is whatever they're seeing in the numbers, you want the best Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. He just turned 28. So the question would be, for any player, I think, that's coming into the last significant year of a contract and a big contract, it's got to be addressed at the end of the season. He's switched agents recently. The question becomes, what's better? Can you envision Jeffrey Simmons being a productive player? Because I think you can make an argument with these mm-hmm. numbers that he's been on the decline simply because of injuries. You could justify it whatever you want. But he may be in decline, even though he's at an age where you still feel like you're at the back end of his, of the prime of his career. But are you better off looking at trade value? Or can you envision him playing well enough, because you're going to pay him a lot, well enough that he is a viable member of your next good team when the stadium opens? And that's not for a couple years.
That was going
Can he be great at 30?
That was going to be the question. Do the Titans think that Jeffrey Simmons can still be an impact player for them by the time they feel they should be back to competing?
Well, listen, it's 2 years before they move into that next stadium. Keep your fingers crossed. So they got two more years before they move into that stadium. I can't see. I predict he has a better season than he did last year this season.
And by the way, he just turned 28 yes. about a week ago. So 2 years from now, he will be a fresh 30 when the stadium is scheduled to be open.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at it based upon the things that he's doing to try to preserve, you know, his career in the NFL. I think he's further away from those injuries now than, what, a year or two ago when he was just in the throes of it and he was playing through it. I think you're getting a more productive Jeffrey Simmons, and I think it's going to be even more productive because he's healthy, completely healthy, at least from what we understand, and he's adjusted his body to the type of play he wants to put out on the field. So if he has a great season, even if he has a really good season, I'm looking to retain as many good players as possible. And if he's still playing great, then I'm keeping him. If he's still playing good, I'm keeping him. The Titans have problems, you know, guys getting into the later years and them saying, nope, we don't want you. And then they go somewhere else and they're playing well. No, keep him. Let him retire here. As long as he's playing good football, allow him to be a part of what he once was a part of, and that's winning.
But if you could get a first-round pick for Jeffrey Simmons, and Bill Barnwell of ESPN did this exercise last week, looking at how many players on every team in the NFL could fetch a first-round pick in a trade. And Bill Barnwell wrote that Jeffrey Simmons is good enough to fetch one first-round pick. So would it be better for the Titans to attempt to parlay a bounce-back season from Jeffrey Simmons into a potential deal to help them acquire a first-round pick and continue to build the team up? Again, the question is, do you believe that Jeffrey Simmons, at 30 years old, if we're going to use the opening of the stadium, do you believe that Jeffrey Simmons, at 30 years old, can still be an effective member of this team, of this franchise, when Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker, and the rest of the front office expect to be back to competing, legitimately competing? That's the question.
The other part that has to factor into your choice on this is you're going to have to pay him again, right? It's the contract's got to be addressed. I don't think they're going to keep the contract as is, right? It's got
a year after this one. Money's low as far as what is.
Remember, he got an enormous signing bonus, mm-hmm. right?
What it counts against the cap.
But you have a chance to get out of the contract after this year, or his base salary goes up next year. The cap hit is 20. Well, I guess it doesn't go way up.
It doesn't go up, yeah.
But I guess you could keep him under contract for two more years. You know, but that also, I could argue that makes his trade value a little bit higher. It's not like there's all this huge dead money attached to it, but there's 9.6 of dead cap if you wanted to get out of it this year. I would hope it doesn't get to that. That would mean another injury-plagued season, right?
Yeah, if that happens, then you're almost forced to, look to going in another direction when it comes to Jeffrey Simmons. But listen, if he's playing the type of football that they expect him to play, this team doesn't have enough good veteran players. And if he's playing well, you reward him by signing him to a new deal, extend the deal, add the last year on to a new contract and extend it from that standpoint. Because here's what's going to dictate a lot of it, I believe. It depends on how those other guys around him play. If those other guys around him, I believe T. Sweat's going to play much better than he did as a rookie because he knows more. He knows how to prepare his body in the offseason. So I think he's gonna be a stud. But it's those other guys. If they're not getting the production and the penetration and the sacks from these other guys and the disruption from these other guys, how in the hell can you even trade Jeffrey Simmons when he is the only guy that is going to get to the quarterback?
Because that's the
situation they're in too.
It's the catch 22 because they're not likely to have success with Jeffrey Simmons, and the only way to get better is to get draft picks. So just the first round pick, I'd have to look at who's offering me the pick. Mm-hmm. Where is that pick likely to be? Even though in the NFL, you never know. Teams that we think are going to be good end up not being good. Is this a trade deadline kind of thing where then you're probably really looking only at teams that are competing for something?
Mm-hmm.
But as crazy as it sounds, like I think of moves that Bill Belichick made, like Richard Seymour comes to mind. He was at a similar age.
But they had Tom Brady. They can do that.
That's the point. They were trying to win right then. They still felt like, let's take the first round pick for mm-hmm. Richard Seymour.
But they can do that because they had Tom Brady. And when you have Tom Brady, just like Kansas City, you can make certain moves because you feel you have that quarterback. Baltimore's the same way. Yeah. Buffalo, Cincinnati. That's why Cincinnati hadn't signed Hendricks back just yet, I believe.
This is a rebuild. So that to me, that makes it even more mm-hmm. me leaning towards I would look to see what I could get in a trade. If it's a first rounder and maybe another pick to go with it, I think I would do it.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What are your baseline expectations for Jeffrey Simmons this coming season? And how hard would you entertain a potential trade of Jeffrey Simmons? 615-737-1025. Hey, let's give away some tickets. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. And you can win a pair of tickets to see Robert Randolph at Fog Street Lawn Club on August 15th. Caller number 3, 615-737-1025. A pair of tickets to see Robert Randolph at Fog Street Lawn Club. Those tickets could be yours. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. 1025, 1063, the game.
Jimmy has done an excellent job. You know, he doesn't walk around here or really act like a rookie. You know, he's a guy that's... He's learning on the run, but he's really detailed. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He plays hard. He brings the energy. So I love where he's at. You know, he's not a typical rookie. We've thrown a lot at him. He's been able to handle it.
That was Denard Wilson on Femi Oladejo, Titans rookie edge rusher. And we will get to Femi Oladejo in just a moment. But I do want to read this text from Terrell on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. about Jeffrey Simmons. Quote, I expect all-pro defensive tackle for Jeffrey Simmons. There's no single sack average that defines an all-pro defensive tackle. It depends on the defensive scheme, the player's role, and their teammates. However, a good defensive tackle can average around 8 to 10 sacks per season. While sack numbers are important, a good defensive tackle is also judged on their overall impact on the game, including their ability to stop the run, disrupt the passing game, and contribute to the team's overall defensive success. So if he can do that, then he will meet my expectations.
See, and that's where I think I'm going to say Jeffrey Simmons, but, you know, the defensive line. This is where they fell short because the one thing that this defense since I got drafted in 1997, they prided themselves on was stopping the run. That's one thing. That's one thing I can tell you for sure, 100%, they pride themselves on stopping the run. Regardless, who was the coordinator, who were the D-linemen, linebackers. They had trouble at stopping the run last year, that defense interior. And I think a lot of it gets blamed on Jeffrey Simmons. Why? Because he's the big name on that defensive line. So they got to get back to that. If they can establish that once again, and Jeffrey can be the guy that he has been in the past, I think you can't help but want to re-sign him to another deal. I can't see you. Again, I understand you don't have enough good players, but to get rid of a good player just to hope and wish to get some good players, the Titans are not there yet. And I know they need the depth at each and every position. I know they need to build this roster up. But if you're getting rid of Jeff, there's almost has to be a definite. You talked about Richard Seymour. They drafted an offensive lineman, meaning New England. They drafted an offensive lineman with that pick, and he ended up being a perennial starter for them.
Yeah, Nate Solder was the guy they got with the pick for Richard Seymour. So for those that maybe don't remember, Richard Seymour was mid-2000s, mm-hmm. or the aughts, if you will. He was 2003, 2008. And it was in that space, the prime Tom Brady years, that mm-hmm. Bill Belichick was thinking ahead. Seymour was coming up for, he wanted more money. Their choices were to pay him or trade him for a first-round pick. They chose to trade him for a first-round pick while he still was good. And Richard Seymour was never as good for the Raiders. And the Raiders franchise tagged him. They did, but he just was never as good. He was maybe just a little bit past his prime. He wasn't bad, but
he was a really good player on a bad team.
The Patriots got an asset, and it ended up being a very good asset. Nate Solder played all the way until 2019 for the Patriots. So that's like the ideal scenario. You jump off the wagon on one asset, you get a new asset. The only way to get good is to get more picks. That's how I see it. You're not going to find a way to buy free agents to build the roster back to where it needs to be. So I would look at it, and it may not be this year. It may be next off season is when this might really come up, because then you're reset. People are looking at their budget for the next year, and maybe you can get maximum value at that point.
Derek, you mentioned Jeffrey Simmons not having a lot of help in terms of the rest of the Titans pass rush. The organization certainly hopes that Femi Oladejo can be that player, a converted middle linebacker who did not become an edge rusher until his final year of college. The young man certainly looks the part. He is a physical specimen, 6'3", 260-ish pounds, but had 6 sacks over 4 seasons in his collegiate career. The Titans had the opportunity to draft Donovan Ezeraku out of Boston College, who led college football with 16.5 sacks. They decided to trade down. They picked up Femi Oladejo. He's a project, but you heard Denard Wilson on that cut. They've been throwing a lot at him. They certainly believe he can be a part of the solution, but it seems to me, maybe this is a bit strong, Willie, I was going to use the term Herculean task to get Femi Oladejo to be an instant impact player in his rookie season as he's navigating a position change to start his NFL career.
That might be a little unrealistic if you think it's going to happen overnight. So the trade down, this is the concept of how do you get the picks that you need. So what they did, they traded down in the second round to get the third round pick back that they had traded right before. They didn't have a third round pick. So now you have Oladejo and what's the kid's name? Winston, the safety, right? That's who they
Kevin
took.
Kevin Winston Jr., yep.
And so you hope you get 2 good players out of that in a perfect scenario if you have a really good draft. Oladejo, I agree with you. That is the one thing. We talked about Cam Ward. Cam Ward doesn't jump off the page at you when you walk onto the field and you see him throwing. You know, he looks good, but he doesn't look like, oh my gosh, look at this guy. Oladejo's got that. You see this guy and you're like, wow, who's that guy? You know, if you didn't have any idea who he was, his physique, his build jumps out among, you know, all these world-class athletes that you're seeing on the field. But the lack of production and the position change, that concerns me, at least in the short term. So I'm trying to temper expectations, because somebody's going to have some opportunities. If Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat are doing their thing on the interior, you got to figure that there's going to be opportunities for an edge rusher. Maybe he's the guy, but with the with the skill set and the lack of production in college, I'm hedging my bets there.
Derek, a texter on our text line has a question, not specifically to you, but you are the one who can answer this question. Speaking of Femi, how did Javon Kearse look during his rookie training camp? Did they know that they had something special before the season started, or did he just develop through the season?
I mean, I think they knew very quickly that Javon was going to be a player. It was just getting him up to speed on, you know, because under Greg Williams, we ran a complex defense. I mean, you had to know what you were doing. And when you got people like Blaine and Mark Robb out there, those veteran guys, that they're not going to be too patient with rookie players out there because they're trying to win ball games. And when you got those guys out there, you got to make sure that whoever you're putting out there, especially as a rookie, stay at the same standard as those veteran guys. And, you know, it was very quickly everybody noticed Javon. He stood out. And it was just a matter of time. Once he knew the defense, once he got used to, you know, playing against this caliber of offensive lineman, the dude was going to be good. And we saw what happened his rookie year and the years he was with the Titans. But at least the first go around.
I think there was a feeling in that camp that, wow.
Yeah, he was just whew.
And I do remember Floyd Reese running up to the podium, basically, to pick him. And I remember somebody made a report during the draft, like, there's no doubt who Floyd Reese is taking here. Like, he was, like, breathing a sigh of relief that he wasn't picked before that because he was, like, a mid-pick. You guys were 8-8, so he was in the middle of the first round. But the difference between Kearse and Oladejo was that Kearse was a dominant player in the SEC at 13 sacks in 11 games. I'm looking at his last year in college, 1998. And that's the only list. Did he only play 1 year for Florida? Am I seeing that right?
He didn't have a long, lengthy career.
What was he doing before that?
He was there, but I'm not sure how his career went in college. I'm not sure if he was like a day one starter and he sort of worked his way up into being a number one pick, or was it just that year he became a starter at Florida? I'm not quite sure, but either way, he was a hell of a player for us. But here's a...
Okay, here's, so no, I'm looking at this. Only the stats for 98, the page I was looking at. So he was all SEC in 1997, and then in 1998, again, All SEC, AP SEC defensive player. So my point is, he was extremely productive as a college player. Oladejo, the six sacks, it's not like he wasn't productive, but to think that he's just going to walk up there and start doing what Javon Kearse did or anything like that, I don't think so.
It's not necessarily Javon Kearse. Just think about this, people. There was another player with the same numbers coming out of college, measurables coming out of college, who was a converted defensive back that ended up being a Hall of Fame player. Now, I'm not saying Femi is going to be that, but if you look at the measurables, he and Brian Urlacher are almost like the same player. When you're just looking at the measurables, the times in the 40, the vertical, everything else, the fluidity that they played with, him being a backer, now rush in, Urlacher being a safety, then get converted to I think it was a middle linebacker. That's what they're hoping, that they can get a guy that can transition seamlessly, but also use that ability that made him a middle backer, you know, getting off the line of scrimmage, scraping off blocks, getting edge, setting edges, making tackles. That's what he's accustomed to, but they're hoping that it can translate now with playing a rush in position. So I look at it from that standpoint. Now, whether he gives them that, only time will tell, but that's what they're hoping.
615-737-1025. We will take your reaction to Jeffrey Simmons, Femi Oladejo, the Titans pass rush. It's all up for grabs. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we've mentioned Jeremy Fowler's name a couple of times because he had a lengthy notebook during his visit to Titans training camp. And there was a little nugget in there that we found interesting about a certain important position. and we will discuss that coming up next, 615-737-1025, later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan. The Nashville Sounds will take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp at First Horizon Park. First pitch is at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.